Today marks the start of Mental Health Awareness Week. It comes after last week. A new survey suggested that half the people in the UK wouldn't be happy to discuss mental health issues at work. 49% said they would be unlikely to tell their boss about problems such as anxiety, depression, or bipolar disorder, and 35% said they would be happy to tell their colleagues. Linda Bryans is a journalist who's had her own battles with mental health, and she joins me now. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Vinny.
Mental health is still, I think we are getting better talking about it, but it's still one of those things that we wrap it in cotton wool. We're afraid sometimes to mention it too much because of the reaction that we get, even on this programme. So people in work are going to find it difficult in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the last taboos when it comes to looking after our health, isn't it? You know, and increasingly we're very happy to talk about our physical ailments and about how, you know, the surgeon said it was the worst hernia he'd ever seen or whatever.
Yeah.
But we don't have the same bragging rights when it comes to mental health. And you're right, you know, we have kind of pushed that a bit further. We have opened the subject up more, and that's all brilliant. But still, you know, the workplace obviously is quite a competitive environment sometimes. So
yeah.
I can understand why the survey found that half of us aren't happy to talk about mental health in the workplace.
Is that possible fear then, if you mention to your boss that you're struggling with something, that down the line when there's a possible promotion or something, they might think, oh, well, this might put extra pressure on that person. And that person, whoever it is, X, Y or Z, had anxiety last year, had depression last year, and can they handle it?
Well, of course, and I doubt they could legally use that as a reason against giving someone a job. But
that might be the thoughts of someone that has had mental health problems in the past.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can't hold that against someone. but I think even at that, you know, that's another barrier to promotion. Maybe a boss kind of carrying that about and thinking in his or her mind, well, you know, that person's prone to being a little bit highly strung or a bit sort of incapable of coping under pressure. So, and that may or may not be down to a mental health issue, depression or some other thing. But, you know, I think it's unfair to hold these things against people progressing in the workplace.
We have spoken, myself and yourself, on this topic before, Linda. Obviously, yeah. when you were struggling, you were a freelance journalist at the time. What were the first signs that popped up that made you think there was maybe something not right?
I just had no ability to concentrate. I couldn't make a decision. I couldn't keep my mind focused on anything for more than a few seconds. And that was most unusual for me. In the business that you are in, you have to be on topic the whole time and really keep concentrating on not just the questions you're asking, but the answers that the guests are giving. And my mind was unable to process a lot of that. So, and for me, it was almost an overnight thing. I woke up one day and found this inability to concentrate, couldn't focus on everything. Because I was expecting a baby at the time, I was in the last trimester of pregnancy. I thought maybe it was something to do with that. And maybe, you know, it was just a little bit ditzy because there was a baby on the way and I was thinking about other things. But it became quickly apparent that it was much more than that. And of course, whenever part of your personality is taken away like that, you become a little more insecure, maybe less confident. And it got, for me, in the space of maybe a few weeks or a month or so, I became really to the point of paranoia. I was afraid of everybody. I was afraid of everything. I didn't want to go out, didn't want to answer the phone. I was just super suspicious of everyone. And because I didn't realize what this symptom was, what was happening to me. I was losing interest in everything, including people, work, everything. And my confidence went down to rock bottom.
When you did speak publicly about that and the battle that you'd had, did you have any concerns of an impact on your working life?
Yes, I did. I didn't know what was happening to me at the time. Such was the stigma, even greater back then, about mental health. So I didn't recognise the symptoms that I was experiencing. And to be fair, you know, the people around me didn't recognise them either. But probably because I didn't talk about how I was feeling, I just kept it to myself. And certainly I didn't tell anybody at work because I was working in the BBC in London at the time, a really competitive environment. And I felt that this was something that I shouldn't tell them. I thought if I told them, they would think I was going mad because that's what it felt like. felt like I was going mad.
And that's that stigma, the stigma that is still surrounding that, that we try and get rid of. But when you talk about your mental health, you're worried that people will literally think that you are going mad, you're losing your marbles, or whatever other on-PC way you want to say about it. And that, once again, there might be a concern. Maybe people would do it in your best interest, but a concern that if there's a high-pressure job or position, that maybe we shouldn't give it to this person because it could inflame their mental health issues, or we could be causing them further harm by putting this extra responsibility on them.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. But, you know, why would you apply for a job in the first place if you're not prepared to take on that extra responsibility? And also, you know, mental health is not a life sentence. Poor mental health, depression in particular, is very, very treatable these days. And very often, you know, we used to talk about, and in fact, doctors were very often criticised for prescribing antidepressants to deal with depression. But, you know, that is a last resort these days for most GPs. And actually, the more recognised treatment, I suppose, these days would be talking therapies. In fact, just here, I, as you know, work in Belfast Metropolitan College, and I just signed up last week. I had the very first of a 6-week course of mindfulness with some of my other colleagues as personal staff development. And that's a brilliant offering in terms of dealing with just your mind and where you are, and trying to do something positive for your mental health to keep you in a good place.
Michelle Byrne is from Aware NI, and she joins me as well. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Vinny. Good morning, Linda. Good morning, Michelle.
It's one of those things. We are, as we've said, Michelle, we're talking about it more and more. But are you surprised to hear these stats? 49% unlikely to tell their boss about problems such as anxiety, which more and more of us are struggling with on a daily basis.
Yes, and unfortunately not too surprised. Mental health and depression still has a massive stigma attached to it. But we are finding that more and more people are coming forward and talking about their mental illness, in particular depression. There's still a long way to go, but we have certainly come a long way as well.
You think, are these figures disappointing, considering the fact we did believe we were moving away from the stigma, we were starting to be more open, talking about this kind of thing more, and as Linda said, we're seeking help?
Yes, and I think the reason why these figures exist is because people really don't understand the illness of depression, and they don't understand mental illness. And it's important that employers do their bit to show their employees that they are a mentally healthy working environment, that they are, you know, open to discussion with employees who are facing difficulties, and open to supporting them and supporting them through their work environment. Research indicates that being in employment actually has a positive effect on a person's mental well-being. It gives them a sense of purpose and a sense of self-worth. So it is important for anyone that's suffering from an illness like depression that they try and stay in the workplace.
Do you believe, Michelle, that there's still an attitude that's around some people on their opinion on mental health? In fact, we've heard it vocalised on this programme before, whereas they don't totally believe that it is almost a real thing. That off the say 100% of people that claim they suffer from mental health, only 10% or so actually are, and the rest are in some way swinging lead, or they just need to snap out of it and get over themselves.
I think, Vinny, for anyone that's been through an illness like depression, they know just how debilitating it can be, certainly for any friends or family members of someone that's had an illness like depression. They know what it's like and just how serious it can be. But it also just how important it is for other people to be there for that person and not to talk about it in whispers, you know, to ask someone if you're recognising that someone's feeling down or maybe their mood has changed, they're talking about difficulty with sleeping, sit down with someone and just ask the question, how are you? Is there anything I can do for you? Certainly an employer has a responsibility to speak to their employees and say, you know, is there anything that we can help you to support you and stay in work? Because as I say, staying in work is so important for someone that's suffering from a mental illness.
Okay. Michelle, just before you go, the Aware website, if you want to give that out.
Yes, the website address is www.aware-ni.org. And there's lots of information on there, including our programmes that can help people with mental illness, and programs that employers can bring in as well to teach and educate their employees about mental illness.
Michelle Byrne, thank you very much. And Linda Bryans, thank you very much as well. There's also the Lifeline number I'll give out for you, of course, if you're living in Northern Ireland, 0808 808 8000. That's 0808 808 8000.